I have to give you a little bit of a disclaimer, warning. I tend to get intense on this subject. Peter is going to talk about the pattern for leadership in God's church. And some of the things that Peter says in this short passage, we'll probably only get 5 or 6 verses. Some of the things that Peter says are verbatim, word for word, what Jesus himself said to the disciples. And it's interesting because we're studying that on Sunday. We didn't plan it that way, but it's just kind of interesting because when Jesus was saying these things to the disciples, they were clueless. He would give this wonderful speech saying some of these very same words, and they would go, as soon as he left, they would be arguing about which one of them was the most important. Completely clueless. They were different people after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Some of them were, you know, Peter still had his foibles after that day, but he was truly a different person in one respect after his failure. He set himself up in front of the other guys as better, and of course you do that and you're going to fall, and pride goes before a fall. And he fell in front of all the guys. And so I just want you to look at the language that Peter uses, because it's an appeal, not a command. He calls himself a fellow elder. And he's not addressing his minions as the Pope. There's a lot of humility in this. But I believe the words that Peter says, once again, they're not Peter's words alone. Jesus said the very same things. I think these are some of the most disobeyed. And Jesus made them commands. Peter's just offering this as counsel and making an appeal. I think they're some of the most disobeyed things in the history of the church, still to this day. It's so clear. I can't figure out how the church could have gotten so wrong and so off. I've heard this taught on many times at pastors' conferences, but because we're studying through 1 Peter, we're going to look at it, even if you're not in any kind of leadership. But here's my personal feeling about why the body of Christ needs to study this. Because if the body of Christ knew what this said, the abuses of leadership couldn't exist. You see leadership that is domineering, people that are fleecing God's flock, people that are abusive, and you see so much of that you think it's normal, but it's not. It's not God's way. I think that God's people have a right to expect that their leadership would be like what Peter describes here. So it's a pattern, it's a model. I take it really seriously. There are words in here that absolutely send chills down my spine when it talks about whose flock it is and that it's been entrusted to my care as a pastor and that I'm accountable. I have to look Jesus in the eyes for how I treat you. And I find this a thrilling passage. I just love God's ways. I love the way he thinks. It's just heartbreaking to me that the church does not reflect it. For the most part, the people that are like what Peter describes here are the exception and not the rule, and it shouldn't be that way. So I'm going to read all the way through at my NIV, and then I'm also going to read the same thing in the Amplified Bible, because there's some really, really fat words in here. This also, the study gives us a chance to define a few terms, and I find that that's always a good idea. So, chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock. The phrase be shepherds is literally shepherd, a verb. I'm going to read it that way. Shepherd God's flock that is under your care. Underline the word God's flock. That's a really good wake-up call for every person in leadership. Shepherd God's flock that's under your care, serving as overseers. Not because you must, or not by constraint, one translation says. I like that. Not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. And the NIV kind of misleads here when it says not greedy for money. The Greek is closer to not motivated, not with dishonest motivation, and I'm going to read it that way. But, so Peter says, don't do it for this reason. Don't be like this, but be like this. So not for dishonest motivation, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Underline the word entrusted. It's a scary, fat word. By the way, somebody pointed out last night in our study up in Rockland that this is really good advice for parents, that all of this admonition is just fits so beautifully for parenting. Be examples to the flock. And then when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, or likewise, one translation says, that means all the stuff that applies to the leaders applies to the young men as well that aren't leaders yet. In the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Now, the next thing is all-inclusive. It says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because, my favorite word in the English Bible is the word because. Because it means that God's going to tell me why. And that's my number one question. Why? Why do I have to do that? Why is that right? What is that wrong? Why is this the best way? And I love it whenever I get a because. So he says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility. And that word clothe yourself is a very colorful word. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because. And then it quotes Proverbs 3. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And we won't get that far. We'll probably only get as far as verse 5, but I hate breaking it up. But there's my notes. So there's a lot of stuff just in those 5 verses. I take it seriously. I think you ought to take it seriously, even if you have no inkling of an idea that you would ever be a person in leadership. I freely and openly tell people, you should study everything in Scripture that tells you what God's idea of a pastor is, God's idea of a spiritual leader, male or female, and not settle for less than that. And I don't. The people that I look to as models are people that look at what God's word says. And of course, if you look at everything that Peter says, and then you try to find somebody that's like that, immediately your eyes turn to Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect model and pattern. Jesus himself very candidly called himself the good shepherd, and that word good means ideal. You know, the quintessential ideal of a shepherd, Jesus said, that's me. And he said, one of the qualities of a shepherd like me is that you lay your life down to care for the sheep. I have to tell you that all the years that I've been doing this, I've been ordained since 1978. So what's that? 35 years? Something like that. I can't. Don't ask me to add. 33 years. Okay, do the math, Bob. Do the math. I don't see a lot of people like this in ministry. I really don't. And that makes me sad. We need to look at some terms. He starts right off addressing. Remember, this is a general epistle. This is a letter that's not written to anybody specifically, but to God's people, Jews and Gentiles, who are born again believers in Jesus, scattered all over the world. And the letters are circulated. One letter might be sent to a big town, and the big town that has 10 satellite churches, you know, sends the letter out there, and all the churches were reading it. So this is a general appeal. And he addresses elders. We need to talk about what an elder is. In the Old Testament sense, in the Jewish sense, an elder was just somebody that was old enough to supposedly have wisdom that was worth listening to. And I mean, I don't know how you quantify that. I know some men that are in their 70s and 80s that are still act childish, that don't have any wisdom at all, never seem to gather any. I know some young people who have wisdom beyond their years. In the Jewish sense, an elder, what was that figure that was kind of astonishing? On my 50th birthday, I thought it was kind of cool. Somebody sent me a card with a quote from Life and Times of the Jewish People in the Days of Christ or some textbook that said that the Jewish people in Jesus' day did not believe that a person was mature until age 50. And when I turned 50, I thought, all right, my voice should be changing any time now, and you know, I'm gonna be mature. So here it is, 12 years later, I'm in my 60s, and I don't feel any more mature. So apparently the Jewish people are wrong about that. So the Old Testament definition of an elder has to do with age combined with wisdom, not one or the other, but both. That's what you would call an elder. In the New Testament, the term elder, the Greek word that's translated elder, is an office of the church. And in our bylaws, it's an elder functions as a pastor, and pastors are elders. And in the New Testament structure, even in churches that don't, you know, follow the model that we do, the New Testament structure, elders are men who are spiritually mature in the Lord, and who have been chosen to serve as spiritual leaders. The interesting thing about elders in the New Testament, especially you look in the book of Acts and Paul's epistles, is that elders in the New Testament weren't necessarily older men. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about Timothy being an elder. We know he was a pastor, and those terms, at least in my understanding, are fairly interchangeable. A pastor is a teaching elder. In Ephesians, it talks about pastors being teachers. This was not the model that I grew up with personally. I grew up before I came to Calvary Chapel, I grew up in a denomination that was populated mostly by pastors that were frustrated evangelists. And they didn't understand teaching. Most of them were not teachers. They were preachers. They were screamers. They were pulpit pounders. They were I've seen guys carry microphones in the days before they had lapel mics and wireless mics, pacing back and forth, red in the face, screaming at the audience and giving a salvation message every single Sunday. Which, if you already know Jesus and you hear the message of salvation week after week after week after week after week, you starve to death. You know, nobody tells you how to be a Christian. Nobody teaches you what God's like. And so I saw many bad examples of leadership that don't follow Peter's model here at all. So anytime I see what the Bible has to say about it, I always tell people I had been in church for 22 years before I ever heard anybody teach on this subject. 22 years. Never heard any of the things Jesus said about it. Never heard the things that Peter said. Never heard the things that Paul said. And there's a large quantity of scripture on this subject. I think I understand now why I never heard anything about it, because it would have exposed unbiblical practices, and hard to teach on something if you're not living it. So an elder was a person who was mature in the Lord, whether they were an older person or not, chosen to be a spiritual leader. I just want to throw one little thing out. Different denominations have different titles for things. I know that some Baptist churches call what we would call an elder, they call it a deacon. We have deacons. We have had deacons. I don't know if we have any now. But deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means servant. And in the book of Acts, deacons were people who ministered to the physical needs of the body, not the spiritual needs. The first two deacons that we look at in the book of Acts were Philip and Stephen. Interesting, pretty heavyweight dudes. An interesting thing is they were chosen because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what were they chosen to do? Distribute food. So if you want to look at our bylaws, and if you plan on staying here, it might be a good idea for you to do that. But our definition of an elder is someone who is appointed to be in spiritual leadership over the body. Pastors qualify. And deacons are people who minister to the physical needs of the body. And so there's just some definition of terms. So Peter, I can't resist. There's just no pulling rank in this, all of the words that Peter uses here. I hope you noticed them as I read through it. Oh, I never did read the Amplified Bible, did I? Sorry, let me do it now. I told you, I get really intense on this subject, and I'm... Slow down, Bob. Take a deep breath. I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor, and the splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded. Here's the appeal. Tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God that is your responsibility, not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably motivated by the advantages and profits belonging to the office, what we would call the perks, but eagerly and cheerfully, not domineering, not arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples, patterns, and models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. And then, when the chief shepherd is revealed, you'll win a conqueror's crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe and apron yourselves, all of you, with humility. And it gives the Amplified Bible gives a little definition of that word clothe. As the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another, because God sets himself against the proud. And I'll stop there. If you talked about somebody being domineering, church I grew up in, somebody domineering, arrogant, controlling, and all of that, I would thought, oh, they're a pastor. Because that was most of the pastors that I saw were like generals or CEOs of major corporations. And I saw very, very few examples of the Jesus style. When I did, they always stuck out. When I did, I just always hoped that it was that way, but I thought they were probably weird. And most of them got in trouble because they weren't team players in the sense of the denominational word so often. So Peter addresses the elders, and the very first words that he uses are, like I said, they're humble words. He's not pulling rank. He's not addressing them as the Pope. He's not addressing them as an authority. These aren't commands. He says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. That word appeal is a word between equals. It's a warning and counsel and advice and admonition. I mean, it's on a sliding scale. It can be really strong, but it's not forceful and it's not coercive. It's a word among equals. And I think that's important to see. I love how different Peter is in these days of his life than he was in the beginning. Imagine how insulting to be sitting there at the Last Supper and have Peter in front of you tell Jesus what losers you were and how you couldn't be trusted. And thank goodness Jesus had Peter, because Peter was not going to fail, even though the rest of these clowns, they'll probably fail you, but not me. How insulting that is. And of course, then he was the one that fell on his lips. And he was restored. And he was given a makeup test. And I find it so interesting that in John 21, when we see Peter's makeup test, where Jesus is asking him, Peter, do you really love me more than these other people? He said, well, I'm not going to go there, Jesus. I like you a lot. And let's not talk about the more thing, but I do like you a lot. And he said, feed my lambs. And he asked him three times. Three times he let him do right what he did wrong before. Second time, same thing happened, but Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. It's the same word that Peter uses here. Poimeno or something like that, isn't that, Fred? Isn't that what it is? It's the word. It's the Greek word that we translate pastor. So if following the Greek text, a pastor is a shepherd. That's what the word means. Third time Jesus asked Peter in the makeup test, he said, feed my sheep. Two feeds and one shepherd. Some of the translations here when it comes to the verb in verse 2, some of them say feed, but that's a kind of a watered down word, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at appeal. I appeal, word of equals, as a fellow elder.